Brothers, I want you to give me a little sound on this microphone. Thank you, sir. Brothers, it's a privilege to meet and greet those men of our nation whom Messenger Muhammad has placed in front of us. Messenger Muhammad said some years ago that we will never be respected as a people until we learn to respect leadership coming from among ourselves. And you know, we have been blessed to meet rulers,
yes, sir,
and kings. But I can tell you a truth, or the truth. Though I respect these rulers and these kings, I bear witness that the King of Kings is in America, and that which he makes is more worthy of our respect than all the leaders of the world combined. For these men, Captain Rashid, Captain Shah, Secretary Abbas Rasool, and the brother that I'm about to introduce. You see, these are men of divine. And I don't want anyone to be shook up when we say men of divine. Of is a preposition that stands for possession or belonging to. And since we belong to the divine apostle of God and are being taught the divine revelation from God, then we are all of divine. So who is a better leader for us, or a better guide for us, or a better friend for us than that which is of divine? So we thank Allah and his messenger for raising up these men. And we pray Allah, through his messenger, that he will keep these strong lights,
yes,
ever strong and ever growing stronger in the light,
yes,
that they, along with others, may guide this lost nation to the messenger of God.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want to say to Captain Edward Rashid, I hope that you will forgive me, dear Captain, when I rushed in here like a madman on a point or something that you were making. I want you to forgive me, brother. I didn't mean any disrespect. I was just rushing down here to see a brother that I have been wanting to see in this temple for so long till I just was beside myself. I didn't mean any disrespect. I hope you will forgive me. But I was rushing down here looking for the man I'm going to introduce. Brothers, I can't tell you how happy I am this morning to introduce this brother. I don't think I would be any happier except to introduce to you the Honorable Elijah Muhammad himself. For next to Messenger Elijah Muhammad, I don't know anyone. That I would be more pleased to introduce to Messenger Muhammad's followers. I count this an honor. I don't want to put the microphone on. I have a tendency to keep it on. I just want to say these few words about my brother. And the water that you see in my eyes are not, no sadness.
Right. That's right, brother.
The water that you see in my eyes is joy. Because I am in the presence of a brother that I know and have longed to see just where he is. So I want to tell you something about our brother. Many of you don't know our brother. You may have heard of our brother. This brother is the seventh son or the seventh child of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
I can only tell you of him that which I know and that which I have heard from the mouth of the messenger.
Yes, right.
And since messenger Elijah Muhammad is a man that does not tell other than the truth, he told me some years ago, he said, "Brother, my mouth was not made to speak idle words.
That's right.
My mouth was made to speak the will of God."
Yes, sir.
Then I listened to what that mouth said.
Yes, sir.
I would like to tell you what that mouth, that divine mouth, have said of this one.
Yes,
and if he never said it, if we looked hard enough, we could see it. I'm so happy this morning. Boy, that's right. And before we leave here this morning, we're going to ask, and if necessary, we're going to beg this brother,
yes, sir,
if he will stay with us a while,
yes, sir,
or come back as soon as he can.
Yes,
I would love for him to talk to the whole city tomorrow. We will promise him,
yes, sir,
that if he would but stay,
yes, sir,
just another day,
yes, sir,
or two or three,
yes, sir,
or four or more,
yes,
because if you want the messenger's presence,
yes, sir,
you should want to hold on to one who has him inside. Very deep inside. Years ago, when Minister Muhammad first began teaching, those of us who heard him, we marveled at it. He's different from any other minister of Islam. He always had a depth that none of us had. He always had the ability to inspire us to greater heights of wisdom because of the depths to which he had been blessed to go. And so whenever he spoke, we all listened because we knew that here was something different, yet the root of it was still the Father's teaching. But its height and its depth was so that we could see greater horizons,
yes,
from listening,
yes,
to his mouth.
Yes,
as he began to marvel us all, we would sit at the messenger's table when he was absent because we would talk about it. We were great backbiters. the messenger would say, "If you think that he's great now,
all right,
wait until you see him 10 years from now." That was in 1963. It's 12 years. Messenger Muhammad told me personally, I don't know who was around to witness, I can witness for myself, and the truth is a witness of itself. The messenger told me, and I don't want you to think in any way other than the way I'm saying, he said that when the germ left him that was to be the base of this man, he said the Savior was in that germ.
Yeah.
And while he was being formed in his blessed mother's womb, the Savior told the messenger to name him after himself. The Savior told him to name him Wallace D. Muhammad. Wallace D. Muhammad. This son is born to help his father. And if he's born to help his father, he's also born to help you and me. Because he can't help his father unless he helps you and me, because we are his father's burden. All praise is due to Allah. Are you listening? I know I shouldn't say these things in his presence to him, because it's kind of embarrassing. I don't mean to embarrass my brother. But I'm so thankful to Allah that he's beside his father till I'm almost beside myself. Because if you love the messenger and you see the burden of a nation resting heavily on the messenger, and not only the burden of this nation, but a mission of international scope, then you know that the messenger needs help, and the best of help. And what better help is the help that God himself has prepared as help for that father. Minister Muhammad had to go to school for many years to learn, because he is able to expand the horizon of your knowledge and mine. I don't want to say yours and leave me out, because he can expand all of our brains. And I say this, Allah sends whom he will on time. Minister Muhammad, I thank Allah for your presence here today. I know Captain Shah does. Yes, and all the old soldiers who know you. All soldiers. Where's all the old soldiers? Stand up who know Minister Muhammad. That's right. And you young soldiers, after today, you're going to know him too. Brothers of the FOI, it gives me the greatest pleasure, the greatest honor, to present to you a most excellent helper of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his son, our brother, Minister Wallace D. Muhammad.
Beneficent, the most merciful, to whom praise is due forever, for his coming and creating for us, out of us, a leader, teacher, and guide in the person of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Brothers of the fruit, leaders here in Temple Number 7, Minister Farrakhan and his assistants, Brother Captain Shah and his assistants, the secretary and his assistants, and our captain from the West Coast, Captain Rashid, and all of you who are leaders under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for the good of the Nation of Islam, I greet you. Assalamu alaikum. Beloved brothers of the fruit of Islam, the soldiers, men, I greet you. Assalamu alaikum. It's a great pleasure, great honor for me to be welcomed here among you. And I'm just overjoyed with the reception. The reception I have received is just too much for me.
And we love you. That's right.
If I didn't know just how all of this love has come to me, I think I would just fall out on the stand here. It would be too much. I would faint. But knowing that this love was divinely made.
Yes, sir. That's right.
That the God himself put this love in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
And when he put that love in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, then we responded to that love because we had been starved for over three centuries. Starved, we didn't have love. So when we found love in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, then we really came alive to love. And when we see someone from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it puts before us the picture of that one who put that love in us or brought us alive to love. So we are very blessed, very much blessed. Brothers, we are blessed more than any people that ever lived on the face of the earth. You know, I hope you just have patience with me. I prepared some notes, some things that I want to talk to you about. But before going into these things, I just have to talk what's being said right now in the heart, you see.
Yes, sir.
That's a new message that just came to me while I was sitting here under all of... So we have to give the fresh first, you see. So then I'll go back to the old notes. You know, the world accepts the Bible and the importance that the Bible placed on certain people. The world has accepted this. As the people in the Bible, we know as the Jews, you see, and they have in the Bible their history. Some say that those first Jews were black, but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad hasn't given us anything to make us feel sure that we can say that they were black. But we know that all of the people were black in their origin. But we don't know whether the scripture goes back to that when it's talking about the Jews, you see. But we have in the book, the Jews, and how he suffered, how he lost his unity and lost his king, his great king that were over them, keeping them in unity and keeping them strong. How the leadership of the Jews were weakened and made it possible for stronger people to take them over, you see, and put them in bondage. And we read of their bondage in Egypt, so the scripture says, and how they suffered, had to slave for people who were not their own people, had to do the work that their rulers didn't want to do. They had to do it, the bad work, the painful work, the sad work, work that make them sad and hot and tired, tired bodies and sad and tired hearts, you see.
Yes,
and how they suffered for centuries under that, and how they were expecting a deliverer all the time.
Yes, sir.
They didn't feel that that was justified, that they should suffer like that. They felt that that was wrong. People just shouldn't have to live like that under another people, under cruel taskmasters. So they were expecting a delivery, you see. And finally, we are told, and the scriptures tell us, that one was born and put upon the water and floated down into the kingdom, or into the palace of the ruler. That child was given the name Moses.
Yes, sir.
And this Moses came up in the house of the enemies of his people, and he served Pharaoh, the enemy of his people, and he gained knowledge, gained knowledge of how to conduct himself as a leader in the house of the enemy, in the kingdom of the enemy. And his people came one day and told him that you are the deliverer. Now here we have a man being told by his people that he is to be their deliverer. And Moses finally grew more and more into love and sympathy with his people, and he just had to break with the ruler, with Pharaoh and his kingdom, and accept the responsibility of leading his people. Now, when we study our history, the world accepts this, right?
Yes.
They accept this. The Christian world accepts this, you see, and they feel, they believe this. The synagogues believe it, the churches believe that those people deserved an answer from the Lord of the world, that because they were suffering under bad taskmasters, you see, that they deserved an answer from the Lord of the world. And Moses was given, and they accept that Moses was a divinely raised and guided man, you see. Now, go back a little further into the history of those people, and we find that they had prophets coming to them, helping them out when they weren't in quite that bad a condition, you see. They weren't suffering that severe of uncomparable or discomparable life. And now, we come to our people who were brought from their land, brought over here, and put in the same kind of bondage, but suffered more. We also suffered a breaking of communication between ourselves and our people. But not only that, communication with God was also broken. In the place of the break in the communication with our people, we was given a relative called the white man. And you know what kind of relative that was, you see. And then in the place of the break between the God and ourselves, we was given Jesus, the image of the white man, you see. So now the world should readily accept agree with us that it was time for God to answer us.
That's right.
If there was a reason for him to answer the Jews,
yes, sir,
there are 10 reasons for him to answer us. So what we want to tell the religious world, when I say the religious world, I mean Muslims, Christians, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, whatever they are, if they believe in divine power, what we want to tell them, that if they don't accept that God answered the black man in a divine way equal to greater than the way that he answered other nations in Scripture, then they might as well take all of these holy books and use them for tissue paper.
Right.
Because they don't mean nothing.
Right.
They don't mean anything.
Right.
You know, we're applying the rule of common sense. That's all. We're applying the rule of common sense. If God answers some Jews who were crying on the Pharaoh, and when we compare their history with ours, our cries are louder, our scars are deeper, our affliction covers the total person. Afflicted physically, afflicted mentally, afflicted morally, afflicted spiritually, and afflicted as a human being. Denied us recognition on the level of human beings. For over 3 centuries they did that. And said that we were people, all right, but not quite people on a human level with white people. We had a level between the white people and the monkeys. And they taught us this, brother, they taught us this for centuries. And we had nothing to use as an argument against what they were saying. Simply because they had stripped us of all knowledge, all history, of all the traditions. Not even a surviving word was among us from our grandparents or from our foreparents. Nothing to go on. All we had to go on is what they gave us. And they gave us a picture of ourselves that was painted to take out whatever energy that might arise in the man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
Maybe the man would be sitting out in the field,
yes, sir,
and would see the water rise up from the earth,
yes, sir,
and would see water come down from the heaven,
yes,
and would see the animals satisfy their thirst upon the water that comes down, you see, and see the life grow. And how the rain and the sun act to strengthen the life, the growing life. And maybe the man just watching this would come up with ideas to encourage him.
Yes, sir.
That if there's a being providing for these creatures, if there's a being watching the atmosphere with fresh rain,
yes, sir,
that maybe someday soon there'll come a washing to wash this filth off of me that this world has put on me, you see? So, but the man couldn't even look at nature and get an encouraging word because the white man had completely took over his mind, had burdened him so, and had emptied him, so emptied him of all aspiration,
yes,
for self,
yes, sir,
kept him burdened with fear.
Yes, that's right.
He didn't have time to use his
free moment.
That's right.
To recreate himself.
Right.
So he was just left totally in the dark and alone at the mercy of a merciless world.
Right.
A merciless world.
Right.
So where can we find now in history any people who suffered losses into that degree? No people can be found in history who have suffered losses to the degree that we have suffered losses. You see? So if we are saying to the world now that God has heard, Allah has heard, they shouldn't be surprised. They should say, we believe that God has heard. Because we know that he heard others before you who didn't suffer as long as you suffered. Who wasn't scarred as deep as you have been scarred. And wasn't dismembered as thoroughly as you have been dismembered. And God heard them. And sent them a raised for them a deliverer. So we know that a deliverer has come to you from God. They can say that.
Go ahead, Minister Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Minister Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
I hope they're taping
this. Oh, praise the Deuce of Allah.
Go ahead, brother.
So a man came from the east.
Yes, sir.
And when we read the book, we read of men coming from the east.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And when we look into the Shriner's wisdom, we read of man coming from the east, you
yeah,
see?
Yeah.
So one came from the east and told us, did you know you were from the east too?
Come on, brother.
Now,
go ahead now.
My dear beloved brothers, believe me, I feel you clapping when you're not clapping. So for this space some time, and I know you're clapping, but hold up, let's give this time to talk. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you. So a man comes from the east and he tells us, do you know that you are also from the east? Your home is in the east. You were brought from the east. And this one from the east, he came just as any other man. He didn't resemble an angel or a spook. He didn't come with wings flying through the sky, you see. He came walking with shoes. He had underclothes and pants. A shirt. A tie. He had a jacket, two coats, you see. And he had a hat. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he looked at this man and he said, this man, he is saying that it's time for us to have a deliverance. He is saying that God, it's time that God take over for us.
Yes, sir.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, this man must be the Christ.
Yes, sir.
Say, this must be the Christ that we are reading about in the Bible that will come at the end of time.
Yes, sir.
He didn't tell the Honorable Elijah Muhammad this.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is thinking this, you see.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, he continued to preach, telling our people, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, how we came to fall in this ditch. And how we came to have cruel feet standing upon us. And as he continued the teaching, explaining to us our problems, speaking to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, telling him the things that we're suffering, bad health, poor health, the inability to think clearly, the absence of love in the heart for self and kind. As he began to teach this to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad began to see into the suit of clothes, into the light, Caucasian-like complexion, into the straight, cavy-like hair, into the skull, under the skin, until he touched the mind of the man that came to him from the east. It wasn't in his hair that he saw any divine. It wasn't in his complexion that he saw anything divine. It wasn't in his suit or in his hat that he saw anything divine. But it was in his mind and the operation of his mind and the object that his mind was going out to. For even if he had seen that mind and had seen that mind going out to the white world, out to the Arab, he still wouldn't have recognized God in the person.
Yes, sir.
But because he saw this, this mind, this divine and light pouring mind, because he saw that mind pouring its light in its sympathies out toward him and his poor people, he saw that, yes, God has come. All praise due to Allah. You know, I just get a thrill out of tying things together, you know. But I already made a big knot, and I tied it to stay tied, and it's gonna lift a lot of weight. That rope ain't gonna come loose. I'm not gonna point to that knot again. I'm gonna keep on going. All praise be to Allah. Now, think about this, brother. Think about this. Master W.D. Farrar, or Master W.F. Farrar, he used both of those names. Master W.F. Farrar, and he used Muhammad too. I hope you're wide awake today. I know. Look, don't think I'm ignorant of the burden that you have to carry. No, I know the burden you have to carry. I know that you have to miss sleep. I know what you have to do. Don't think I don't know that. But if you want to keep your eyes open and your ears open today, while I'm here, Allah will keep them open for you. When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told me, "Well now, son, you can come back to me," I went back to him and I told him, I say, "Daddy, forgive me for speaking like that to you, you see. But when I say daddy, I'm saying everything else. Daddy to me means everything, brother."
Go ahead, Minister.
I said, "Daddy, I say where there's a will, there's a way." And it was just something that was prompted automatically in me to say that to him. I had no forethought of it or anything, but when I saw him, that's all I could say. Say, "Daddy, where there's a will, there's a way." About 2 months later, I came to the house and I greeted him, and we embraced each other and kissed each other on the cheek. He said, "Son, that is true. That old saying, where there's a will, there's a way." 2 months later. That shows you that this is divine.
Yes. Yes.
If it wasn't divine, it would have been answered normally.
That's right. That's right.
But it wasn't answered normally, it was answered divinely. See? Well, before I go on and continue this talk, I want to tell you, Brother Minister Farrakhan, and all of you loving brothers, ministers, and secretaries, and captains, and all of you loving fruit, where there's a will, there's a way. Don't think we have problems. We don't have problems. And you wouldn't have a problem if you took your proper place in this body we call we.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. You see?
That's right.
But if you try to jump to the shoulders or jump to the heart, and you an organ that's in the region of the loins or kidney or something,
yes, sir.
Quite naturally, we have problems when you speak.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Because you're speaking as a kidney,
yes, sir. Yes.
Not as a brain.
Yes, sir.
You see?
Yes,
sir. So it's a kidney speaking with the voice of a brain.
Yes,
and that produced problems, right?
Yes,
you see? But if the kidney speaks with the voice of a kidney, the kidney will say no more than the brain says. And the brain says, "We don't have any problem."
Right. Go ahead. Go ahead.
All praise be to Allah. Let me tell you. Let me tell you something about this body, brother. You know, it's easy to follow objects because they don't demand anything of us but that we look at them with our physical eyes. If I put this book here and this book here, it's easy for you to follow. There's no complications for you. Nothing bothers your mind. Right away you say Bible and Quran, right? In the kindergarten children are given physical objects to play with. They play with ABC blocks. They play with certain tools. They can handle clay and work the clay and shake the clay, you see. And they look at pictures. Why? Because they are growing up out of the earth. Now, as the brother minister already told you, that I'm different.
Yes, sir.
So I don't want you to go wrong in your thinking. I don't want you thinking that I am getting away from something.
No,
If I don't say the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's name, as often as you hear it come from the mouth of the ministers, then don't worry.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Just listen. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is my spiritual father, as he's your spiritual father. He's my savior, as he is your savior. Oh, what is this man talking about? The savior is Master W.D. Farrar. I've heard that all my life. If you want to tell me that, you're not telling me anything new. But I'm talking about the Savior, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Go ahead, Minister Muhammad.
All right, let me just forget about that and let's go back.